I got your text. Everything okay?
After everything that we've been through with the wedding, you know, calling it on again and off again, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah, look, I don't want to hurt you either. That's why I should never have brought it up.
Justin.
You know, I'm happy with the progress that we're making.
Justin, stop. I love you so much, Justin Morgan. And I will be the happiest woman alive when I'm your wife.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm you.
Are you?
Yeah. Baby steps.
Right. Yeah.
But I want to move forward. I want to marry you.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Right, fun fact. Sophie, right from the off, do you want a fun fact?
I do. Fun? Come on then. I love facts, me. Go on.
You best, Adam, at least pretend to. This episode is our 200th episode.
Is it?
Yep. Well done.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow, congratulations. Gosh, that's a bit of a... Is that the actual main episodes we've done 200, or is that everything including First Look and...
No, that includes. That includes.
Wow. Gosh, we've done a lot of chatting on the internet, haven't we?
It's one thing we can do.
Oh dear. Is that good or bad? I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
I don't know. Well, we're going to celebrate it like Home and Away celebrates all good milestones.
And ignoring just, it.
It's any old day. It's any old episode.
Good plan.
Yeah. Oh, so happy 200th.
Wow. Chin chin. Wow. If I could get an award for talking, oh my god, I'd just be, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you for it. Do you feel 200 episodes old?
No. Do you?
No.
It's not really how I, you know, increment my life by episodes of the pod, so I don't count. Yeah.
I do, because it is my life.
Oh dear.
Gosh, season every week, and I made season what episode what? yeah, there we go. Such is life. You know, you came for one, stayed for another 199. There you go.
It's true. Oh dear.
It's a good story. It's a good story. How are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm super wired, caffeinated to the eyebrows. But apart from that, I'm good. How are you?
So I'm hearing this could go two ways, right? There's either a crash midway through.
Just to hear a donk as my head hits the desk and then snoring. Yeah,
and then I'm like looking at your say notes going...
What she was going to talk about.
Or like this could be like the quickest, shortest episode ever because you're talking like the speed of light.
Possibly. But I'm also talking and not really saying the right words or phrases or the right things. So it could be quite painful. I don't know.
Oh yeah, lampshade catheter incoming.
That makes me cross my legs every time.
Same. Oh. Same.
Oh, it's not nice.
Oh. Oh golly. Right, we've had a bit of a week this week on Home and Away. Like,
yeah.
Not necessarily, we were laughing at texting, a bit dull, but like, stuff's gone down, some important stuff. I think this was a week where we're setting stuff up.
Mm.
Would you agree? I'm feeling like stuff's been set this week.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the additional scenery of Levi's house. I've enjoyed meeting his wife. I've enjoyed that actually. As much as the Max storyline is, we'll get onto it. But you know, it's nice to see a different place. It's nice to see a different character.
And it is actually nice to see everyone kicking off.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I love a bit of a kick-off online.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's all good fun. It gives us something to talk about, doesn't it? It gives us all something to either agree or disagree about as well.
It does, yeah. So then, without further ado, do you want your headlines?
I do.
Right then. So Leah and Justin are getting all things wedding back on track. I don't know why I did that. Theo and Valerie continue to party hard. Marley and Mac fight as she brings her affair with Levi home. And Eden makes a surprise visit to see her brother.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, Xander, his success has gone down. You know the moonlight thing we took the absolute Michael out of for the last 2 weeks. Went down well, and he's been tasked to organise another. Cue Dana with her fluttering eyelashes. She's speedily there, offering up a paint and sip night, she says. Very big with the youth of the city. Apparently. James, and
nothing makes us sound older than when we try and sound young.
Thanks for that.
Sorry.
What's your that's a quote.
I'm sorry.
That's a Dana quote. Big with the youth.
she's a bit immature. Well, I don't know whether we can get away with that youth, but we can try.
We can try. It's gone a bit. They're flirting it up a right old storm, aren't they? Even the next day at the beach, it's like, chit-chatting, smiling, eye contact. I notice an eye contact. Any day. I'll notice that before anything. I told you Harper was on small, didn't I? The
predicted that.
Little bit of smolder. And Dana's later, she's all complaining about her lifetime of singledom to Xander during all this chit-chat. And basically, he says to her, "You're a catch, doll. Don't be daft, you'll be snatched up." And then there's this sort of realisation, penny drop, fanny flutter moment from Dana. And she's like, "Oh, I love him."
It was instantaneous. It was like a compliment followed by instantaneous love. It was kind of creepy.
Yeah, it was. As a gentleman watching, I was like, "That's a fanny flutter face, that."
It definitely was.
Is he on the same boat, or is he being sort of supportive bartender, tell you what you want to hear, you're amazing, doll, sort of combo?
It could go either way, couldn't it? I couldn't judge it from what he just that comment alone, because if it was a female friend that said it to you, you wouldn't think anything of it. You wouldn't be like, "Oh, she's coming on to me." Do you know what I mean? You'd just be like, "Well, she's being supportive." It is something you would say to your friend, whatever gender or whatever they identify as. You know it's not something necessarily, it's not a line, is it? It's not necessarily a
chat.
It's not like I would date you, or it's just like, yeah, of course you're gonna get someone, you're a catch. It's just something you say, isn't it?
It was a bit flippant, it resonated, didn't it, with Dana? It meant a lot to her. And you were saying last week, you wonder if the whole her setting Harper up with him was because she realises how much he's got to give and that she's into him. You were saying that, do you remember?
Yeah, I wondered if it was like a road test, like she was road testing with her sister. Because actually, and also the guilt, the fact that we've been told that Tom, which was the Harper's ex, she gave him up. She chose her sister over her marriage, is what we've been told. So does Dana harbour any like residual guilt from that decision and think, well, I lost her a fiancé, so I owe her a boyfriend and I better find someone that's nice. And, oh, this one's nice. So it's kind of like she's trying to gift him to her sister. But then actually now she's like, well, actually, he is nice and I'd like him for myself. So
yeah, but she doesn't know what to do with it, though, does she?
No.
You know, she runs to Irene and Irene, oh, Irene's lovely.
I know.
Giving her all this advice. It's just a little crush, not like a thing. And she tells Irene, or spills all her guts to Irene. She's going, I presume, to be convinced to give it a go. I think he should do it. I think these are a perfect match, if you ask me.
They make more sense than Harper and Xander, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And anyway, Harper is still... The whole Harper Tane thing to me puts her off bounds. I mean, she had this dreadful date with Derek this week off Smolder. Mm. And Derek only wants to talk about Carefree, his ex. To me, I was watching that thinking Harper's not into this as much as Derek is.
No.
You know, Harper's, I'm still thinking Harper wants a bit of the old muscle.
She definitely does. I the scene that gave me the cringe was, you know, when she's trying to work out on the beach with Tane, like she's having a PT session on the beach with him, and while she's having the PT session, Dana's sat there on a towel next to them. I'm like, this isn't a very professional setup, is it? Having your sister heckling you and your partner.
Hey,
your
it's
PT.
A public beach, Charles. Sunbathe where I like.
I know, but it's just having your sister heckling you while you're trying to do your PT session is weird for a start. They're like joined at the hip. Meanwhile, her phone is going woo 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 every 5 minutes, and I'm like, put that fucking thing on silent because it's just. I'm sorry. But why is it not on silent? Because she wants him, Tane, to hear. Oh, all these men. Oh, it's going off again. Oh, what is it? What's the notifications? Oh, it's just an app. It's just an app.
Wow, oh, my God. I've not even considered this.
She wants Tane to know that she's so... But then I don't understand this at all. So explain this to me. So what are the signals here? So she wants Tane to know that all these men on this app want to date her. You know, it doesn't take her long to admit it's Smolder. It doesn't take her long to admit that she's, you know, she's had this message off this guy that wants to go on a date with her. She doesn't know what to do. And he's like, oh, just be yourself. And you never know, you know, just do it. And so she's telling him all this stuff, which I think is like, it feels to me, I don't know, maybe this is, I don't know how it's feeling to you, but to me, it's not feeling like a matey conversation. It's feeling like she's feeding him these lines so that he knows that she's, you know, wanted by these people in this app, and that, you know, she's thinking of dating them. She's open to dating. But then 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, he kissed her and she said, no, 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 we're just friends. So I'm still not sure what she's actually trying to... Does she want him or not? I don't get it. Is she trying to make him jealous? Or was she trying to tell him, I'm not interested in you, I'm going to go out with this man off the internet?
Well, I didn't see it, but now you've said it, that's all I can see.
Oh no. Oh dear.
Oh no.
What were you thinking then? Before I changed your mind, what were you thinking of this whole scenario?
I was thinking that she does want, I think she's got a bit of a thing for Tane. I don't think she'd say no if he offered it.
And but he has, and she said no. So that's
why. Yeah, but only because she felt obliged to, because how nuts to Felicity was at the time. She now seems a little bit settled. I think if Felicity wasn't around, she would go for it. I don't think she'd have to ask her twice. You have to remember as well, you know, Harper's always the last to know, so I don't think it's reciprocated. You know, she only finds out this week that he was planning on like emigrating back to New Zealand. And he's, you know, she's the last to know again, like she was last time, you know, when he was leaving, you know, to get a break. She was the last to know. She turned up for PT before she knew. So I don't think the feeling's reciprocated. I think Tane
is leaning on her and has done since the beginning of the marriage breakup. So she's ended up being a bit of a comfort blanket. And it's someone he's used to being there. But I don't, I think she would if Felicity wasn't about. However, I didn't see the whole the phone on loud deliberately in front of him thing, deliberately sort of seeking his advice on it. I didn't actually see that, but now I do. Now you've spelled it out. Oh dear.
I don't know whether it's the way that it's been portrayed, and maybe I'm just seeing it differently to how it was supposed to come across. I don't know. It's a bit strange. I just find her behavior a bit strange because I can't read her. I still don't know whether I even like her. I can't make my mind up on her.
Yeah. And there are lots of people say that, you know. Because everyone's sort of going, which one of the two do you like, Dana or Harper? You know, no one's like, they're not a package deal, are they? For some reason. And that generally seems to be the sentiment. And I think it's because of this stuff. Like, it's all a bit odd, isn't it? You know, it doesn't feel genuine.
No, it doesn't. I don't understand her motivation for why she tells him certain things and how she's so like, oh, I don't know whether to go on. I'm on this app and I don't know whether to go on the date with a man. And I'm like, why is she telling him this?
Your girlfriends.
Any, does she? That's the thing. She doesn't have any friends apart from Dana and Tane.
Right. Somebody else who's not making a lot of friends. Shall we talk about Val?
Valerie!
And Theo, they wake up after doing the deed. And they get to talking about pressure and reasons why they're on pills and God knows what. And she says,
it's not flipping.
Sorry, well, I've got to summarise it somehow.
We're on pills. Yeah. Everyone's on pills nowadays, doll.
The accent doesn't help, does it? She's talking about when she was in therapy and things get too much, and you know,
yeah,
this is when she feels like she has to turn to them and it's been her sort of outlet. Now, that itself has got a whole load of stuff and baggage attached to it. But she's almost advertising it to Theo, because Theo's got a lot on at the moment. He's failing TAFE. The band's in two places. He's had all this whole stuff going on with his auntie, his auntie Leah. So he's feeling it himself, and she's sort of saying, this helps. And, of course, we all know the lesson we're supposed to be learning here is that in the long run, it does not help. It only helps you to forget for a short space of time.
Yeah.
Can I just say Theo's got silk bed sheets and it was very distracting.
Didn't even notice that.
Black, sort of silky.
Black bed sheets. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I didn't notice. I'm going to have to go back and look now.
About that. Yeah. The next day, right, Theo wants to get high and basically fuck again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's all he seems to be consumed with right now. And he's even willing to pay for it all. You know, he gets his cut of the gig money from Moonlight Assault, and then, you know, scores some more and off they go again. And this is the start of, I'm assuming, a cycle of him and Valerie on a bender. Kirby's noticed it. She's locked up interviews. They're trying to do this duo thing, aren't they, while the band are in action. And there's arguments about him standing up for himself. He's behaving like an absolute pillock. And Kirby's worried about him, goes to Justin. And Justin's like, yeah, I was worried at first, but I'm willing, you know, I've come full circle with it because she's been a great help for Leah. The whole thing is an absolute con. You and I are sus. Many others are sus. And Valerie's leading him astray. Is she just having fun? Is she got a motive here? Like, what is there, a different agenda? My mind is so confused with this gal right now.
Yeah, same. Oh dear. Yeah, and we're not seeing the negative of this sort of lifestyle at the moment, are we? Because they just seem to be, it's only positive. They're just forgetting the world for a bit, you know, going to bed together.
having some fun.
There's no real downside. I mean, he felt a bit ropey the next day, but you would do. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? But it wasn't anything more than what a hangover would have been, as far as I can make out. I don't see any kind of withdrawal symptoms or, you know, anything worse than a hangover, just feeling a bit rough. So at the moment, and also, like, he's doing stuff that is out of character for him. Obviously, the drugs is out of character for him, but also standing up for himself to Kirby, you know, and saying, I'll do the interview myself. It's obviously, it's Valerie pulling the strings, isn't it? And saying you should do this and you should be more confident and you should tell her you can handle the interview on your own and blah, blah, blah. And it's stuff that I probably would say to Theo anyway. You know, he needs to kind of, he shouldn't be pushed around by Kirby. They're not a couple anymore. He is his own person. And, you know, if he wants to do stuff and not at her beck and call, because she still sort of treats him like a boyfriend, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. I guess what I would say, though, as well, you're right, she does treat him like, I mean, especially when Valerie first arrived, Kirby was in spin about it.
Yeah. But
do you remember that album launch of Lyric and he froze?
Yes.
So she knows.
You only get better at that by doing it, don't you? You only get better by, you know.
Well, yeah, season one of this podcast is evidence of that, really.
No, nothing is, no, it was nowhere near as bad as that interview. The band interview was awful. He literally just said nothing, didn't he? But you only get better at that by doing it. And that was in a room full of people that were right in front of him. Whereas this is like, I think she said a print, she's doing the phone one and he's doing the print version. So he's only got to like worry about his answers coming out on paper. So I think he can handle it. I don't think he needs her to hold his hand. So the positive of this is that, you know, he's actually stood up for himself. But it's the negative of that is that it's Valerie manipulating him and saying, you should do this. Because actually, Valerie just wants to hurt Kirby, doesn't she? Let's face it.
Yeah, exactly. And Valerie's attention seems to be taken all up with Theo when her reasoning for being in town and moving into the house was to be close to Leah.
Yeah.
And support Leah. Now, it's great that Leah's obviously, you know, she's growing closer to Justin and is able to move that support in Justin's direction. But, like, why are you still hanging about if Leah's, you know, getting back home and things are going well with you? She's slotting back into life again. Yeah. Like, why are you still here? Like, you seem to have moved in. And I'm questioning everything. I'm like, you've moved in just to get to Theo and... I don't know. I'm like, is there a different agenda? Like, and I'm trying to piece together who she could be. Like, why Theo over anybody else? Did she just seize an opportunity? You know, like found a man when he was down, sort of thing. I don't.
Yeah.
Got so many questions. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Ditto. Yeah. Who is she? What does she want? What's she running away from? You know, is this story about her brother true?
Yeah.
She obviously doesn't have, like, she's been in this clinic for 8 months. So she's come out, she's got no money, she's got no job, no family to support her. So nowhere to live, essentially. She needs somewhere free. She doesn't seem to be in a rush to get any employment or get any money coming in. So she's quite happy to freeload.
Absolutely.
And maybe she sees Leah as a soft touch. And maybe if she gets, so you're right, if Leah gets better, she won't need Valerie anymore. So she'll have to move on unless she's got her feet under the table because she's dating her nephew. Theo.
And does she associate Theo, musician, with money? You know?
Yeah, possibly. Or that lifestyle that she's looking for, that kind of like druggy
party. We'll keep a close eye on that one. I really something bad's coming down the line, and you know Leah's gonna hit the roof.
She is,
comes out, because it's not going to take long.
No, it's not long at all, is it?
He's eating like Tic Tacs
with no questions asked. It's so bizarre.
Water. No, chew on this.
I can't even with the no water. I can't do that. I can't swallow a tablet dry mouth. You can just feel it sticking to the roof of your mouth when you're watching. Can't you? You're like, oh, just no. I'm like gagging watching him swallow it. No, it's not good.
Right, Liam and Justin, they've been out for a nice romantic meal because Salt is heaving with romance since that event. Such a good organizer of events. You know, they know what Dayuv wants.
all those 50-year-old men. Yeah, they look well happy.
they get home, don't they? And they're both like, oh, you know, it's time to go to bed. You remember they've been sleeping in separate bedrooms since she moved back in.
Yeah.
You know, and he tried to move things very, very fast. And you have to think, you know, this has been like 4 episodes. Like, it's not been that big of time since she came back to the house.
No.
And you know, they're both sort of doing this sort of tussle, aren't they, of, well, I'm going to go to bed now. And I'm going to go to bed now. And you're thinking, you both want to go to bed with each other. Like, bang your heads together, man. She does throw cold water on all the tension, just says night and goes to bed, like typical Leah. However, in the middle of the night, the little horny creeper, she comes in, doesn't she, with the horn, does Leah. She gets in his bed in the middle of the night.
And then she just turns his back on him and goes to sleep, though.
So. I know. What a tease.
Yeah.
What a tease. but she's back in the bedroom. Things are looking good, right?
Yeah.
And Justin, being Justin, seems to run with this, right? And by the end of the week, she's back in the bedroom and he's telling Maz that it's time the wedding's back on the table. Oh, and you're like, good grief, this is not going to go down well. And of course, it doesn't at the beginning. No. She's like, no, this is a bit fast. And I'm like, yes, she only moved back in on Monday. Like, what are
we
doing?
It's the Craig David song. She moved back in on Monday. She went out for dinner with me on Tuesday. She got into bed with me on Wednesday. And I asked her to marry me again on Thursday. I mean, come on. It's a little fast.
Monday. We kidnap again on Monday. Yeah.
Impaled on a Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, God. It's
lightning
too,
speed,
too
just
quick.
It's lightning ridiculous. Speed. Yes. Someone said, wrap this story up. It's been going on since November.
And while you're at it, wrap up the community service, wrap up the anger management, wrap up the... Just tick all these boxes. There we go. Done.
Get on with it. Mission accomplished.
Oh,
and
gosh.
On Friday's 5-star episode, she summons him to the beach because she's initially said, no, it's too soon.
Mm.
And he looks a bit heartbroken. He's staring into the fridge all forlorn. And you're thinking, why are you doing this to yourself, mate? You're just going to disappoint yourself over and over and over again. Just let her lead with the time on this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I'm still in, like, does she want to get married? Like, you know, that's still in the back of my mind. Anyway, she summons him to the beach. And just as he's about to say, look, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I want to marry you. Let's do it. Let's set a date. Yeah, yeah, let's hug and kiss. And it's happily ever after. Wedding is on. And of course, unless you live under King Rock, the wedding has happened online.
Yes. Yeah.
So we know it's going to happen, don't we?
Yeah. And it's not in exactly 2 weeks. It's in an unspecified amount of time. But roughly for us, it'll be about, 7 weeks, do we think? Is that how far behind we are?
Something like that, aren't we? 6 or 7, depending.
Yeah.
It's a coming. Leah is going to be wed again to Justin against all odds. Did you see this coming? At some point, I think I did, and at some point, I think I didn't. Like,
I was getting frustrated with him when he went to Maz and said, oh, let's put the wedding back on the table, because I thought it was going to be another week of them butting heads and her going, I don't know whether I want to get married or not, and I still think I'm going to hurt you. And I thought, I can't do this for a week. So actually, I was kind of pleased when, you know, literally the next day she was like, I do want to marry you. I want to be your wife, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, well, at least they didn't drag it on. But it's ridiculously fast. I've not felt swept up in it because I've just been like, oh, okay, marriage is back on, whatever.
It has. Yeah, you're right. The build up needed to simmer a bit, didn't it?
Yeah. I think he could have waited a bit longer, and then it could have been a bit more of a romantic gesture of asking her to marry him again. I don't know. Because technically she asked him, didn't she? Because he was lying on the floor dying.
Yeah.
And we've had him present her with the ring at Salt. We could have had another kind of a bit more of a build up to it, you know. But I'm kind of glad it's over at the same time. I'm glad
it's bittersweet, isn't it? It's like, come on, let's get on with it. But it's also, I can't invest in this because this is just ridiculous.
Like, yeah. Because it could be off again next week because it doesn't, you know, it's back on so quickly.
Yeah.
And also, actually, the first look trailer, you know, he's overhearing her on the phone to someone and she's going, oh, it's all a bit fast and I don't know how I feel. And I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, and in her fragile state, you know, she could whip out a knife any time.
I mean, he could get a crowbar from any plant pot, so, you know.
to me, it sort of diminishes what we've had to go through.
Yeah.
Do you know, this has been quite a storyline goes, this has been quite a long one for us. They normally get through these things pretty pacily, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when was the cult, when did the cult thing, I mean, when did Andrew join the show? It must have been about a year ago now.
Easy. Yeah. You know, and it culminated in this whole thing of the cult with them and the competition.
Yeah.
What was our season finale last year, so mid-November. We're in mid-April now. So it's been a lot. We've been in this a long time, and I'm a bit like, oh right, okay. So I'm a bit like, so do I trust all this time she's been saying she can't do it and she's been struggling? It sort of devalues that a bit.
It does a bit, yeah.
So it's a shame, really, but we are happy that we're going to get a summer bait wedding. We love a summer bait wedding, and I don't know if you've heard any rumours, but there's some people returning.
I think you'd have to be under a rock not to see the spoilers of the wedding. But yeah.
Well, people do return to the bay. Mm. It's not a one-way street.
And yet people are still moaning about it online, I've seen, but there we go.
Golly. Oh, golly.
You can't please everybody all the time. And it's if you want evidence for that, just go and have a look at Facebook.
There we go. The F word. We only... listen, I'm buying a hat. I'm
Oh dear.
Right, Bree's talking to Irene about the loss of her father this week, and she seems to be avoiding Remy's messages while she's at it. Another sort of frustration of mine, I don't know about you, is Bree and Remy, like, and their just innate sort of sense of, you know, non-communication is just like, I just want to strangle them both at this point, because I'm like, everything these two have ever done could have always been resolved with a simple conversation, and it drives me mad that we're here again. There we go, got that off my chest. She's telling Irene there's a lot she feels that she cannot talk to him about, and she feels like her dad deserved better, and she's got a lot of self sort of regret on the time she spent, you know, she spent a whole 20s studying and, you know, and with Jacob and that whole thing going on, and she missed out on a lot of time with her family. And Irene gives her a lot of comforting words. She's been great at that this week, Irene. And she always has been, to be fair. And Remy, he's back at the house saying he needs to find her. She's an MIA, and Kirby's like, you're supposed to be resting. You know, be patient. When she's ready, she'll come find you. And sure enough, she does. And it's all like, I'm sorry, you know, my head's a mess. I didn't want to put it on you. You were in hospital. And I'm just stood there thinking, but you're a couple, right? Like, I can't get past thinking about my own relationship like you would do. Being in hospital, being never not telling my partner, not telling my partner that my family died, regardless of what physical state they were in. Yeah. Like, that's a major life event, and that's something your partner ought to know about.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree, but I don't know. I feel like Bree's got form now with this, because we've learnt a little bit more about her thanks to that chat with Irene this week, about, and also thanks to her telling Remy eventually, you know, the deal with why she didn't want him there and why she didn't, you know, why she didn't tell him and everything else. Mm. It's transpired that she's been in the bay for like over a year now, been with Remy for over a year now, and, you know, hasn't told her, didn't tell her parents. You know, she said, oh, I didn't know how to tell them, you know, because I'm supposed to be this grieving widow who is also the reason why my husband died. You know, I killed him, self-defense or whatever, but she still killed a person. But then she's also, you know, at one point was in love with this person and wanted to spend the rest of her life with him. So she's also supposed to be the grieving widow. And on the back of this, she's also started a new relationship with this other man. And she doesn't know how to tell her parents that. She didn't go home and visit them for the whole time that she was with Remy. So they knew nothing about him. So she's kind of got form for sort of putting people in the dark about her life and her personal life and not telling them things. Like, she didn't go home and see her parents. She's also run away. Her dad's just died. Her dad's just died in tragic circumstances, life support, machine turned off, buried already. And she's already back in the bay and left her grieving mum.
That's true.
And yet she's saying that she feels guilty for not spending time with her dad while he was still alive, and not, you know, inviting him to the bay and not telling him about Remy and not getting them to meet him. And but all this time she's saying all this, she's left her mum on her own. I don't really understand. She seems quite cold. I don't know how to feel about her.
No, you're right. You're right. And I don't... what you've just described is awful beyond... Yeah. Imagination, but I don't feel any sympathy.
No, because I feel like she's cold.
Yeah, it's because she's like that, isn't it?
Yeah, she's very much like, she doesn't have any qualms or she's, I know she says she feels guilty, she says she feels like it's karma, she feels like what she did to Jacob is now coming back to bite her, because now her dad's died and Remy's in a mess. But I'm like, these are not things that have happened to you, these are things that have happened to people that you love, and yet the way that you treat the people that you say you love it's not consistent with how much you say you love them. I don't feel it.
I guess what the only thing we can probably take away from that description she gave us was how the repercussions of domestic abuse,
What
that has on not just the direct victim,
but
the wider family, because the effects are felt by everybody.
Yeah.
So as a result of her being in that relationship with Jacob, like, her dad has felt like he's missed his daughter in his final days. Mothers without daughter when in the hour of need. Remy's without her.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably the only thing we could probably take, is that this is all a product of being in that abusive relationship, and that's why she does it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. She's looking after herself because she has to. She's in survival mode, isn't she?
Yeah. And it's still that way all this time after. I mean, we're talking 18 months down the line here, 14 months down the line since his shoveling. And it's still the case, and it never leaves you. So I suppose there's that element. It just wasn't, it didn't jump off the page at us, though, that lesson. I was more frustrated that Remy was hiding things from her. She was hiding things from Remy. We kiss and make up, and then we go on the merry-go-round again, is sort of what I was seeing.
Yeah.
But there is nuance there, I suppose. It's hard to see.
Why has nobody said, or how come you've left your mum and come back to the bay so soon after you just buried your dad? You know, you've left her on her own she's grieving someone that she's lived with for donkey's years. I just find it really cold. And no one seems to have, like, brought it up to her, like, is your mum okay? Maybe you should have brought her back to the bay with you and, like, looked after her for a bit. Or, I don't know, like, you could have both checked into dodgy motel together. Maybe not, actually, because that was a fair hotel, wasn't it? But, you know, they could have she could have come back to the bay and had her mom meet Remy and say, this is the man that I love, and I'm sorry that dad didn't get to meet him, but now I'm going to look after you and I'm going to be in your life more and you're going to meet my fella and I'm not going to feel regret when you go. It's just, it feels a bit strange.
That ought to be something that she's done, really.
Yeah.
And if anything, a death in the family makes you sort of live in the present, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? And take the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
So, you're right. A proper misfire again. I don't see this. I just don't see this going anywhere. This is a relationship I'm going to liken to like Marley and Rose, where I find it a chore to watch, and it looks like it's a chore to maintain for them screen, to be honest.
But it didn't start like this. This is what I think this is why I'm getting a bit frustrated, because I this time last year, I was absolutely loving Remy and Bree, and I was saying to you, like, oh, this is like a Stevie hot, you know, affair thing. But then as soon as Jacob died, I mean, I suppose that is it does put a dampener on things, but it went off a cliff, didn't it, after that?
Yeah, it did. It did. And there's nothing, for me, nothing will get me involved in these two, really, because I've already, the writing's on the wall.
We're being highlighted how different they are, aren't we, all the time?
Yeah. So you know it's coming, don't you? Shame, really. It's a shame. I told you, all the couples are in crisis.
Yeah, they are. Three,
didn't I? They're all stomachs in the waters.
And this would have been going out at Oz pace, like around Valentine's Day as well.
Oh, romantic.
I know, right? Wow.
Right. Romance is not dead up at the farmhouse. Marley's been kicked out. Sock on the door.
Yeah.
Tarney too, actually, when he tries to come home, presumably for a protein shake and a grilled chicken breast on his lunch.
Yes.
Mac and Levi, afternoon delight. Up at the farmhouse, I said to you, didn't I, on first look last week, the only way this is kicking off is if she's got the affair at the house and not the hotel.
Yeah, and you were right. Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, I mean, I pictured it sort of, you know.
Did you know?
white, Calvin Klein's, you know, croissants in the morning. But, you know, we can't have it all, can we? Can't have it all.
Oh, dear.
Max asking. Now, this is, oh, gosh. She's asking Levi. Talk about pillow talk, right? She's asking him if he's, you know, while he was spending a couple of days with his wife, if they were intimate. Now she's talking
with her. With her.
With his wife.
Yeah, but the way that she asks about Imogen, she doesn't say Imogen. Oh, she says her, doesn't she?
Oh yeah, as if Max not in Max's head, she isn't the other woman. Yeah. This is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
This, and honestly, My toes are curling at this whole storyline.
Yeah. it's turned into something else. It started off as this like lust thing. We don't know each other, but we fancy the arse off each other. We just want to have sex and we just need to get it out of our system. It started off as that. And now it's getting weird because Max got the feels and he hasn't, I don't think, has he?
No, he's having his cake and eating it. I've said it before, having fun. He's seen something he likes. And I'm still struggling with his motive for this. Even after we meet Imogen, which we'll come on to in a minute. Because I'm a bit like, normally there's a reason you look elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lack of, you know, there's something you're not getting at home, sort of thing.
Yeah, either emotional or physical, but we don't seem to have a problem with either, I don't think.
Yeah, and she is walking into this with her eyes shut, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
When Marley comes home, Levi's there, and I literally had to laugh, because Marley, he's like, I'm just doing a checkup. I've written laugh my ass off on video.
Checking on a patient. making sure her heart racing. Okay.
Keeping her Levi is not happy. Like, obviously Marley knows, and he didn't know at this point. It's a small town. He goes mad. He's saying to, you know, Mackenzie, this is a small town. He knows my sister. What on earth were you thinking? This could blow up for both of us. And you think, come on, mate. Like, this is the risk you took getting involved.
Yeah.
You're at a house that she shares with two other people. You're in a very small town where your sister lives. This is very high risk, and you've chosen to take it. Don't try and put this on somebody else, pal. And Marley's had enough. He's outside looking for a surfboard in the shed, and he comes out, doesn't he, Levi, to text Imogen or something away from Marley's earshot, away from Max, you know, vision. If you like, he's gone outside with the phone, and Marley's out there, and he's like, "You're spitting fire, is Marley out there? Spitting fire. How many Max is there? You hot shot surgeon traveling around." I'm thinking, "Oh my God, yeah." Well, I said this initially, didn't I? Like, I bet he's, you know, I bet he's got a magnetic postcode, but I don't actually think it's true the more it's gone on, because I don't think he's very good at this, to be honest.
He is and he isn't. I'm getting a bit, again, mixed signals with Levi. I didn't think he was that kind of guy. I genuinely believed that this was a one-off, the first time he's ever cheated on his wife. I still don't like you. I don't really understand the reason why. I don't think it's because Imogen's done anything wrong or because he's not happy in his marriage. I think it's just because he saw Mac and he couldn't help himself. And I think that's as deep as it gets. I don't think it's anything more than that. But then actually he's getting quite good at lying this week. Like, he's lying to Eden, he's lying to Mac, and he seems to be getting away with it. He's lying to Imogen and saying, "Oh, I went to see Eden in the city," and he's going to Eden, "Oh, I told her that I went to see you in the city because I went to see patients and she told me I'm working too hard." It's all very, everyone's believing him very easily, and it seems to, these lies seem to come really quickly. Like, he's got to think of something on the spot and say it, and he's doing it really well.
Right. He's getting better. He is getting better. You are right. I think he's making some rookie mistakes. So I think if he was like a pro at this, I think he wouldn't be at Max's house.
No.
It'd be a neutral ground. It would, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Different phone. You know. There are some, you're right, it's mixed, isn't it? It is mixed. I mean, did you notice that nasty side to him came out again? And he told Marley to shut your mouth.
Well, not just that, but he ran straight to Mac and manipulated it, didn't he? And that whole, when she fell out with Marley, I think that was him manipulating it so that he could get Mac to push him away so that then he wouldn't get flack from him. I was like, this was orchestrated. He's gone in there and gone, "I'm going to go home, actually. I'm not going to stay the night with you. I'm going to go home." And she's like, "Oh, why? Why are you leaving me?" And he's like, "Oh, because I've just had a run-in with your housemate. And, you know, it's made me feel like a terrible person. And I don't want to feel like that, blah, blah, blah." And then she's then angry at Marley because he's driven him away. Mm-hmm. And all she wants is Levi to stay over the night. So then she's not angry at herself. She's not angry at Levi. She's angry at Marley. And he's orchestrated that. He's made it like, "Oh, Marley's the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy," even though he is. You know, he's cheating on his wife. He's having an affair and he's not being upfront about it. And he's being, you know, shady, not answering her questions and stuff. But all of a sudden, he's made Marley out to be the bad guy. "Oh, he's made me feel bad." No, Marley hasn't made you feel bad. You've made yourself feel bad. I don't know. It's a bit...
You're right. And what he needs is Marley out of the way because he's a problem causer.
Exactly,
And all she does, she goes right out there and kicks him out. So he gets... You're right. He orchestrated it. You're right.
It felt like that. It felt like he'd gone, "Right, I need to... This guy keeps going at me and I need to, like, put him back in his place. How can I do that? Oh, I'll get Mac to... side with me over him."
Not a nice fella, this Levi, is he?
He's starting to show colours that I don't like.
He's a right piece of work. Really is. When you look at how Eden is as well, you know, you're thinking, what, one was with the bad parent, one was with the good parent.
Although Eden's not perfect because she's a lazy motherfucker. Well,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But that's not a crime.
That's not a crime, no.
No, that's not grounds for divorce. Or is it, actually? Think about it. Now, Marley's obviously having, this is all spilling out around the bay now, because Marley's having heated conversations on the phone with Mac about all this living arrangement situation. Flick overhears it, starts asking questions straight on the bus to the farm. And she's like, oh, you know, dropping in, catches, you know, Levi there. And she's like, what's your doctor doing here? Is everything all right? And I'm just like, oh, my toes can't curl anymore. They're going to dislocate.
I know, but she still didn't put two and two together, did she? Oh, it must be your health. The doctor's here. You must be ill. No. Does she look ill? Does he look ill? Do they look awkward? Can you smell the wafting coming from the bedroom? Come on.
What, like the lube or something?
That, you know that sex smell? You can smell when someone's had sex. You can tell. There's like a smell. If you've lived in a shared house with people that are in couples, you know the smell.
It's awkward. Awkward, at the least. And we fast forward a bit. All this awkwardness, Flick doesn't see the signs, doesn't pick up on it. But I wonder whether that was an important scene, because later on down the line, I wonder if she is part of the unravelling of said affair. We will find out. But there must be a reason why we had to see Felicity go up there and see him there. Other than to tell Eden, which she does very quickly, that she's just seen her brother in town. And Eden's like, well, he's not seen me. Like, he's, you know, what's going on? And of course she questions that, and she's every right to. They've been trying to patch things up. They've turned a corner. What's he doing in town and not visiting me? What other reason has he got to be in town? We spoke about this on First Look last week, that yeah, that would be a reasonable question to ask, of which she does. And she quickly comes to the conclusion that he is lying to her. And yes, Eden. Eden's with the audience here. We're all imploring her to crack this wide open. And just as we think she's going to come good, because she has this chat, doesn't she, with Cash. Again, Cash is great for Eden. Talks her into sort of, look, you know, if you want this relationship with your brother, you need to put some effort in and go spell it out, you know, if you want him in your life. So she says, I'm going to go up to the city and see him, because, you know, I'll spend some time with him. Let's make this work. And I'm going to make it a surprise. So she rocks up to this gorgeous house. I would say, who lives in a house like this? A heart surgeon. So she knocks on the door. His face, I mean, you saw his heart through his arse, didn't you, when he answered that door? Then she gets involved. You've just mentioned it before. She gets involved in the lie. He's the why he's been in Summer Bay and not at home. And then I just want to shake Eden, because I'm like, you went up there saying he's lying to me. Like, why? I can tell, you know, he's telling lies, and I need to get to the bottom of this, and I want to see him. And why is he in town and not telling me? You get there and then you don't seem suspicious or asking questions or inquisitive about any of it. You're going along with it. Was she blindsided by getting on with Imogen so much? I don't know, but I'm a bit like, when she left the next morning and she's like, this has been great, let's do it again, what's a little white lie? I'm like, hello, you went there calling him a liar. What happened? This guy's a charmer if he can do it with his sister as well.
I think Cash talked her out of it as well, though, didn't he? Because he said something like, and I thought it made a lot of sense. He said he's not had to factor you into his life. So I can't remember how he phrased it now, but basically when he comes to see a patient, if that's what we believe is the truth. So he's coming to see a patient, he's come to see Mac or whoever, that his normal day-to-day life before he patched things up with her wouldn't have been to go, oh, I'll call my sister, because they're not close yet. They might have made up, but they're not, like, they haven't got the relationship that Cash and Flick have got. it's not natural yet to text her or pop in for a coffee because they've not done that before. So yeah. I think Cash probably talked around and said, you're not on his radar because you're not you don't normally do that. You're not the kind of siblings that do pop in and, oh, I was just in town, so I just sort of come and say hi. That's not normal for you guys.
Mm.
So I think that possibly he talked her around to thinking, okay, and that's why she went and made the effort herself, because she was like, you're right, and I don't know where he lives, and I've never popped to his house. You know, I've been to the city, and I've never popped in to see him and meet his wife. So maybe I'll do that then. I'll go there. And then obviously when she's got there, he's had to go, oh, you need to come in on this lie. So then she can't ask him because she'd have to ask him in front of her and then unravel the lie that she did. And she doesn't, she wants to go along with the lie because she wants to believe it's true and she wants a relationship with him.
Yeah, and we, I suppose, I need to remember that she doesn't know about the affair and I do.
No.
Perhaps there's a bit of that going on, isn't there? Because I'm thinking, yeah. You've gone up there thinking he's not being truthful with me about something.
Mm.
I get there and the first thing he does is ask me to not be truthful about something.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm sitting there thinking, hello? Yeah.
It is suspicious, but I think maybe she so desperately wants to have him in her life again that she's just going along with it. And she's just going, okay, well, like, it's not like flicking Cash. I can't compare it unless I make an effort as well. And by making an effort, this is what siblings do. You know, they cover for each other. They keep secrets for each other. They pop into each other's houses without, you know, telling each other. But to get that kind of relationship, I need to actually do these things. So, I don't know. I can kind of see why she's done it.
I did think it was funny when he basically, the next morning, she's like, oh, you'll have to come and stay at my house anytime. Don't need to call in.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't think we'll do that.
No.
I'm thinking, look, have you seen your house compared to his?
I was going to say, the one that she lives with three adults or the one that she lives with two adults? Because she lives half and half in Cash's house and half in the band house.
That's true.
And obviously, in the band house, you've got Remy and Bree there a lot of the time. You've got Kirby there all the time. It's not really the kind of place where you want a couple to come around. Where are they going to sleep?
I know, as if that's going to happen. You're going to go into the city, aren't you, and stay at that pad. You
know, yes, yeah, absolutely.
With the grazing board.
What, yes.
What is it with rich people with wine grazing boards?
I did like that about Imogen, though. Immediately she was like, Levi, get her a wine. I was like, I like this woman.
Yeah, same. Thoughts on Imogen, then?
I really liked the scenes with her. I really liked the script that they had with these scenes. I thought she was really funny, like really quick-witted. It basically was showing us that she's nice and funny and smart and kind and, you know what I mean? And then you feel really bad because you're like, Levi was telling the truth.
All the worst, doesn't it? That's just 10 times worse. Same. Yeah. I thought she was great. They look like they have a lovely life.
They do. And she looks blissfully happy, blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
I don't, unless it's all for show, you know, it could all, she's just meeting her sister-in-law for the first time ever. But I didn't get the feeling that it was a show. It was just them in their house being natural with each other, comfortable.
Mm.
And like, I liked her, you know, as much as I like Mac, and I don't want Mac to be heartbroken, I like Imogen.
Same. And this is going to make this, when this comes out in the wash, make it all the worse, innit? Why couldn't she be a bitch?
I know. And then she's all like, oh yeah, and I'm trying to convince him to be a dad, and no.
I wonder if that's it. I wonder if she wants all these things out of life and he is panicking.
Maybe it's that. Maybe he's not ready to settle down. He's already married, but maybe he's not ready to do the whole kids.
Yeah, because he reaches for the wine, doesn't it? As soon as she says, oh, you know, kids are on the table or halfway on the table, he's like, top up, change. So I wonder, I'm just trying to find his reasoning for doing this, you know?
Yeah, could be that.
I don't know, he needs to grow up.
He doesn't want to give up his lifestyle, He doesn't want to tell her that he doesn't want kids, maybe. Oh, God, have we got the reverse Flick and Tane going on?
Oh, good Lord. Good Ooh. Lord.
Ooh.
What day is his neighbours on? No one to get it.
don't you dare.
what this all does as well is cause, obviously, Marnie knows about it. He's being, even despite being turfed out of his house and then welcomed back in again by Mac, he's keeping it from Rose. And there's been this feud with Rose going on. And Rose has been struggling with the whole, you're not telling me things. And I might just tell Rose, like, if I knew about someone having an affair, my other half would know about it and they'd be sworn to secrecy. Just fucking tell her. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I've got a job. Then Rose is, they're having this argument out in public, and then there's this weird person TikToking in the background. We later find out is Montana Kennedy, which is the influencer that we spoke about on a couple of episodes back that was cast as someone to distract Rose while she works on the old, what's
community,
it called?
Community service.
She was
babysitting shoplifters while they weeded some grass or something, didn't she?
Yeah, and she was there. She had, are you allowed your film? Community service.
I've never, believe it or not, I've never committed a crime that I've been caught for, so I've never done community service.
I would hazard a guess you're not supposed to have your phone taking selfies with a trowel.
I know, the trowel selfies. I can't believe she didn't live stream the entire thing, you know?
She was a good message at the end, though, when she come good and Rose had a torture after getting some wise advice from previous ex-senior constable Cash with no top on. and, she, you know, she sort of goes on this video on TikTok or whatever, and she's like, you know, what are you going to do good deeds? So I think that was a lesson learned. It was a one-off cast, one-off episode, kids on Instagram, this is what you do. Did it well. I thought she was good.
She was good. It was just so random, wasn't it? This whole scene was random. It just felt like it was just thrown in to just kind of take up 5 minutes of the screen time. Because it just came out of nowhere. There was no build up to it. You know, Justin got this community service as part of his sentencing about a year ago with the anger management. We just got told recently he's wrapped up the anger management, but we hadn't heard about that for months. We also haven't heard about his community service for months, but then all of a sudden there was like a whole ep about his community service. But then it's the end of it. And then we've got this other girl. So we've actually seen him do community service. It was nice to see it. Because we were saying, you know, when he first got community service, we weren't seeing it. He was just going off and doing it, going off to anger management, going off community service, and we weren't seeing anything. So we've got what we've asked for because we've actually seen him doing it now. But it wasn't about Justin. It was about this random girl. So I don't know. Is she going to join the cast or is that it?
No, it was random, wasn't it? I think that's it.
I don't think it was aimed at our... I don't think it was aimed at us. As if you're trying to sort of aim a scene or, you know, get people to turn the TV on at a particular time, I don't think this was aimed at our generation, our age group.
Very nice, very nicely put. Yes.
Yes.
More our age group is actually John and
No, not the Surf Club donor. I'm not into that.
We've just got time. To lose the will to live.
Oh, God.
I'm getting a bit fed up.
I'm really fed up. I don't care now. I don't care who it is. I don't give a shit. Just spend the money. Don't spend the money. Just don't tell me. I don't care.
John, I'm going to plow on. John is suspicious about Rue giving up on something, which, exactly. One word from Cash and she's like, okay, I won't ask any more questions. That's not Rue. We've said that for a few weeks now. And eventually he does convince her that the funds need freezing again. I'm like, oh my dear God.
To be fair, if Cash took his top off and told me to drop asking, I think I probably would have complied as well. I think Rue is of a certain age. that it, that would probably work.
Yeah. It's a good job you did, you filled that pause quickly, because you paused after drop. I was like, drop what? If Cash took his top off and asked me to drop, I was like, what, drop what?
Whoops. No, I was just trying to gather my thoughts, because all I was thinking was Cash with his top off. But yeah.
Yeah. It could be worse. You could have worse days, couldn't you?
Oh, definitely.
They call a meeting with the committee. The committee seemed to vote to freeze the cash. Cash. Mm. Person cash, not cash like money cash.
Dirty cash.
It's then been left with no option but to ring up said donor. Knows his number off by eyes. Like,
with a black screen. Can you see his phone?
Yes.
I was like, he's not even trying to phone number. It's just a black screen. That's what I do when I see someone in the supermarket and I go, oh, shit, I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I go, hello? Oh, hi, yeah, I'm just in the supermarket.
That's it. And he says, listen, donor, Alf, I've told him what you've said and they're not backing off. So... Another week. Are we telling these weeks now? Are we telling them? Like,
oh, I don't even care. I don't care.
No.
I don't care.
And we're gonna. Should we ban them? Should we ban it off the pod now? Even if we're. What do you want to do with this?
Do we do donor in a minute, or do we just ignore donor at all? Completely.
Donor in a minute. I mean, do we have enough? Like, we don't know anything. That's like 2 seconds to say that.
We still don't know. Cash knows, but no one else knows. Does Ozpace know? Because I've not heard. This is another thing. I've not heard anything from Ozpace about who this bloody donor is. So does it go away eventually? I don't know.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. The great diner robbery of 2018.
Right, it's that time again. It's Your Say on the Bay. I've been digging through social medias, reading comments, looking at reactions from people who've watched Home and Away in the UK this week, and I'm going to read some of these out to Si and see what you make of these. But before that, a quick reminder, we are also on social media, Coastal News Podcast, so look us up. Our handle account name on most of the social media platforms is at Coastal News Pod. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, X, formerly known as Twitter. Ugh. We're not on Pornhub, as I got that wrong last week.
Just to clarify.
I got that wrong. We're not on there, but we are on everywhere else. And we watch the show at UK pace, but we watch it at the first look pace. So we watch it 6:30, Monday to Friday on 5-star here in the UK. And we do a tweet along. I'm still calling it that because an X along doesn't sound right. During the time when one of us is watching the show, we usually put some tweets out, we talk to people on there, join in the discussion if you want to come and talk to someone about what you think about Home and Away, and then I might just read out your comment next week in this segment, maybe. You never know. So this week, Si, I've got to start the, you know, start the segment off, I've got Harper and Dana to talk about, I think. There's been quite a lot of comments on social media about these two, as you can probably imagine. So, you know, the whole scene with her notifications going off, her smolder notifications that we just talked about. Constantly bibbing away in the background while she's trying to punch Charlie. Not literally, but in her PT session. So went and had a look on Facebook because they put a video on their Home and Away UK page. They put a video of this up of her on the beach and her phone, you know, pinging every 2 seconds. So I had a look at the comments on there. And the first comment that got my eye was from Kay. And she wrote, she needs to smolder off. I imagine the expletive that she wanted to use was probably not smolder off, but something similar. And Julie says, I think that she's hoping that Tane is going to ask her out. You know, that's the reason why she's doing this in front of him and having her notifications switched on so that he can hear him all bibbing off, because she wants Tane to ask her. And, you know, she's making it obvious that she's available for dating.
Well, you said that, didn't you? Earlier.
And that's what I think. Yeah.
That completely went over my head, that, but you're right. Now I'm like analysing everything that happened. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I didn't see. This is how the ladies operate, is it?
Mm. Well, I don't know. I think this is how we are supposed to be thinking that she does. I don't know. I feel like it's really obvious. And I think this, whoever Julie is on Facebook is thinking this as well, because Julie says, you know, she's always around him. And I keep finding that she's looking at him like, oh, look at me, Tani. I'm so sweet. I'm so perfect. This is Julie saying this. So I feel the same way. I feel like she's... But then I also get mixed signals from her. You know, when he tried to kiss her and she was like, oh, we're just friends. What are you doing? And I was like, well, which is it? I'm not the only one that's confused. Facebook's confused as well.
Do you know what they need to do? They need to go to Travel Dodge. And
get it out of the system.
Yeah, there you go.
I love Mac and Levi, maybe.
That'll work. Well, yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's worked for them. Yeah. Mm. Not. Mm. Mm. People were also commenting on Harper and Xander and their compatibility, because obviously he took her out to the Moonlight and Salt thing, didn't he? But nobody's feeling Harper and Xander. In fact, Victoria says, I think she was hasty to... I think she was hasty. And Wendy says, I think Harper is better suited to Tane. And Dana? I keep saying Dana. Dana is better suited to Xander.
Yes. So,
yeah.
We all agree. I'm not sure about the Tane thing.
No, I still can't see it. It's still making me a bit, oh, no. I don't know. I think it's because I don't feel like she's genuine. No, I don't want Flick and Tane back together. I'm quite happy for Tane to move on. I just think the way that Harper's going about it, I find her a bit... I'm not warm into her. I just don't like her. I don't know.
No, there's something's not clicking, is it?
No. I can't put my finger on it. She's not done anything particularly wrong. I don't feel connected to her. I don't feel like I know who she is. She's very intense.
She is, and she doesn't integrate. That's her problem.
Yeah.
She does is spend every waking minute doing PT sessions with Tane.
Yeah. Like, you know, when he said, oh, just, you know, she said, oh, I'm nervous. What am I going to say back to him? And he wants to meet me. And he goes, oh, just be yourself. And I was like, yeah, but who is herself? Who is she?
Who is she?
It's like Dana. I wasn't that keen on Dana when she first joined, but she's quite funny. She's got a personality. She's got you know, but she's a bit cheeky. Yeah. She talks back. She's a bit sarcastic. You know, she's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Harper's just very serious and very like, oh, I don't know. And that's just like, there's nothing charming about her. That's horrible, isn't it? I just can't see anything charming about her.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Anyway, moving on. It's not about me. What do people think? So the opinions on the sisters are really split still on social media. Lots of comments on what people think of them. We know when they first came to the show, people weren't sure about them. Dana obviously was caught up with the whole her boyfriend setting her up with the drugs charge. And they were calling her dumb Dana because she couldn't even stay in the bedroom and keep quiet. And she kept running off and almost getting caught by the police, and then she did hand herself in, and you know, at this point Irene and Harper and Cash put their necks on the line to try and keep her out of prison, and she just didn't give a shit. So people weren't very keen on, as particularly Dana, because she got most of the flack, I'll be honest, back in the day. And Harper was the one that people were sort of more warm on, but I think it's kind of flipped. I think that people are starting to think that Dana's a bit more likable. But there are a lot of people that don't really like either of them as well. So I'll read you out some of the comments. So Helen on Facebook says, there's something about the sisters that I'm not sure about. Harper's way too intense and Dana is too sure of herself. One of them needs to come a cropper. Mm. So one of them needs to be brought down a peg. So I think she's right. Harper's just too uptight and too much.
Yeah, you're right. I'm listening to this thinking, yeah, she needs to let her hair down a bit and just chill.
Yeah.
Why
is she like this? Yeah.
I don't know whether she had to be the sort of adult of the two.
Yes.
When you've been on the run, and you tend to get that in siblings, don't you? One of them sort of takes the parental lead.
Yes.
We saw it with Tori and the Morgans. She was a bit like that.
But then when Dana's not around, when she's having these conversations with Tane, she's still really serious and like asking him questions. She's asking him questions like he's on a talk show, you know, tell me this, tell me that, tell me the other. They're not chatting about, you know, trivial stuff. It's like it's always serious, you know. The tone of the conversation is always serious.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. Where's the fun? Yeah, we need a bit of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Louis says, I just can't take to these sisters. I don't know why, but something about them just irritates me. Yeah, I think I'm probably feeling quite similar to that, Louis. Kathy says, please get rid of these two. Harper throwing herself at Tane as a friend, in inverted commas, and Dana just doesn't cut it as a nurse.
Oh, I love Dana as a nurse.
Dana the nurse is kind of funny.
I think she's great at the hospital, you know.
Yeah. She's more likeable when she's doing those kind of scenes, isn't she?
Mm.
Yeah.
This is... because it's so split, you're like agreeing with some on one side and you're agreeing with some on the other. You know what I mean? You're like,
yeah.
Mm. But I think out of the two of them, and I said this early doors, I don't know if you remember, like Dana had the making of a really good character. From the off, and it's funny how we're in this position where she seems to have a little bit more development.
Yes, yeah.
Harper's a bit one-dimensional at the minute. I don't mean that in a negative way. Normally, that's referred negatively in soaps, but she's new, so like we need time to like explore stuff and develop her.
Yeah,
we other than what she does for a living. And like what she likes to do in her spare time, we don't know anything else about her.
But then when you say about what she does for a living, we've been told I'm a social worker, but we've not seen her do any social work at all. And yet with Dana, we know she's a nurse. We've seen her be a nurse to Rue in her home, and we've seen her be a nurse in the hospital. We haven't seen Harper go to work.
Maybe that's the part of the problem. We're not seeing enough.
Yeah, we're only seeing him on the beach in gym gear, punching a punch bag or whatever, aren't we?
And she is supporting Tane's storyline. She's not got a storyline.
What
we're seeing of her, it's Tane's storyline, isn't it? It's not hers.
Yeah, he doesn't ask her questions, does he? She asks him questions. She says things like, what's it going on with you and Flick? Was going to New Zealand about her, you know, did you feel better? Are you, you know, why are you thinking of leaving? Has he even asked her, how's your job going? Or tell me what you're working on at the moment? Or, you know, we're not hearing anything personal about her, are we?
Well, that's true. I do remember he did ask her one question this week gone, though.
Did he?
Let me know how it goes on your date. Now, I don't know if that's
telling us. So he's interested in her love life, but not in her generally. Weird. I'll go back to the comments. Ellen says, okay. I think Dana is funny and she brings out the lighter side of her sister.
Yeah, I agree with that.
CJ, it's my eyes. CJ says, I don't understand. It's because it's all one word. It's CJAY. So I thought it was an L. It's not. It's CJ.
Been a week, ladies and gents.
It's been a week. It looked like Clay. I don't understand why people dislike these two so much, because I really like them. So CJ is a fan of both of them.
Yes.
But Sophie says, not me, not a fan of Harper, but I think Dana is brilliant.
Sure, that's not you.
It's not me, but I do agree. although I wouldn't say brilliant. I'm warming to Dana. I think that's as far as I'll go for now. Doris says, don't like Harper or Dana. All you see is Harper doing gym stuff with Tane, and I wish she would leave. Wow. Fair enough.
She said, yeah, that's what we've said, basically, but we said it nicer.
I don't want her to leave. I just want her to just be a bit more interesting and a bit less boring and serious. Yeah, boring and serious. Mark says, Dana is awesome. She's funny and beautiful. Harper is even more boring than Mac, which I didn't think would be possible. LOL. Wow, Mark. Wow, Mark, with your opinions. Harper is even more boring than Mac, which I didn't think was possible. LOL. Wow. Gosh, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Is Mac boring?
Well, I'm going to say, sidebar, is Mac boring? She's literally having a massive affair. It's causing loads of arguments in the fandom.
Yeah. She's had two heart attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not boring.
Each to their own.
Hmm. But Dana is awesome, beautiful and funny. So, you know, he's a big fan of Dana. Okay, that's Dana and Harper. In a nutshell, everyone's got opinions and no one really agrees with anybody else, because some people like Harper, some people don't like any of them, some people want Harper to
we're in a period of disagreement online about all sorts of stuff. Have you noticed?
Yeah, it's very mixed comments.
There's no galvanization at the minute.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? Really interesting. Even the Mac and Levi stuff is not all, you know, all cut and dry. It's not all people going
arguing about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are like, yeah, just let her have some fun. Other people are going, she's horrible, you know. So it's very interesting. I think where people are agreeing though is on Theo and his drug story with Valerie, because a lot of people are saying the same thing about this. So Kitty on Twitter said, Valerie is a load of trouble and I'm surprised at Theo. Surely he's had all the warning about drugs. And a lot of people are saying this.
Artifact and all that.
Mm. Yeah, I think Mo was saying on Twitter, he's not even hesitated. He was right in there taking that pill. And Tess was saying, this has absolutely come out of nowhere. It doesn't seem in character for Theo. And Joe Lauren said, you know, I'm not a fan of drug storylines in general. Also, maybe the Theo of old would have gone for it, but I don't buy that the current Theo would have been persuaded so easily. So a lot of people are saying that they don't feel like this is genuine, because it seems to have come out of nowhere. Theo's turned a corner in his life and it seemed to be fairly stable, didn't he? Until the Leah thing.
That's a really interesting comment. Thanks for sending that to us, because we talk a lot about Theo's of all the characters we have at the moment on Home and Away. Like, I would, if you said to me which one has had like so much development, Theo is like top three, if not the top. Like, from what he was back at the beginning to now, he has changed so much. And that is a very interesting comment, because I think his younger sort of YouTube days, I can see this fitting there more.
Yes. Yeah.
And the lack of hesitation as well, not even questioning what it is. How did you get that? Is this something you do a lot? Is this, you know, it could this harm me? Like, I don't want it. Normally there's resistance in there at first when people start these things, and then they get, he just sort of popped it in and off they went, you know. I feel the same, and I think it's a really valid point to raise.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people are saying the same thing, that it just seems like just out of character, just not what we were expecting, especially with like the journey that we've all feel like we've gone on with him.
Yeah.
Because when he first came on the show, we absolutely hated him. And, you know, we were looking at comments online. I don't think we're doing You'll Stay on the Bay back then, but we were certainly looking at comments online and people were saying the same thing, that he's an idiot, get rid of him. You know, he's annoying, these stupid videos, and it's going to get Ryder in trouble, you know, because Ryder was, you know, really popular. And he
put Ryder in his boot and took him to a club in Yabby Creek.
Gave him a panic attack. Yeah, in fact Mr. David mentioned that on Twitter this week, because Mr. David said Ryder needs to come back and lock Theo in his boot this time around, because he's acting like a total moron.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, we've not forgotten about the boot, you know, episode.
I'm literally walking on coal.
Yes, the hot coals. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like they've invested in him, I think. I think that's the problem, is that we feel like we've been on a journey with him. We've seen him come right, and now he seems to be going off the rails again, and we're like, no.
And it's been at the flick of a switch that it's happened.
Yeah.
And he struggles, I don't know. There are other people in the bay going through a hell of a lot worse right now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Get a bit of perspective, lad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Angela on Twitter says it's giving her the ick. So watching Theo being high is just giving her the ick at the moment. Michelle's also hating the storyline. So she's saying, I really hate the storyline, but the actor, Matt Evans, is playing it really well. So, you know, there's praise in there that even though I'm not enjoying the storyline, actually the actor's doing it justice.
Because we've seen this before. Like, all soaps have covered a similar sort of story. So you've things to draw inspiration from or, comparisons from. So
yeah, absolutely. And David said the same thing. He's saying it's got potential as a storyline. But David's concern is that it's going to be like Flick's alcoholism, where it was done and dusted in a couple of episodes. So, she was branded an alcoholic, needed to go to rehab and all that stuff. And then, now she can have a social drink and just have the one and not get absolutely wasted. Is this what's going to happen with Theo? Is he just going to one day go, that's enough drugs for me, I'm, putting a pin in that and moving on? Or is it going to be that? Or is there going to be a huge kind of crescendo with this? I don't know.
Was Felicity an alcoholic though? What,
No, she wasn't. She was just using it as a crutch, wasn't she?
Yeah,
just...
what's a bottle of vodka in the air and cupboard between friends?
Ask Irene, she'll know. Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Closer.